Iraq war vet Brian Turner turned his military experience into two collections of award-winning poetry, one book called Here, Bullet, another Phantom Noise. You remember we spoke with Brian when he was on the Amy Lowell Poetry Traveling Scholarship a while back. He received that for his poetry. He's still traveling, now on his own, and that has included a trip back to Baghdad. So, what's it like to walk the streets where IEDs were buried? Or take a water taxi on the river where you once discovered bodies? Ryan's story, along with photographs from Lindsay Addario of the New York Times, which were taken before she was taken hostage in Libya, remember that story, it's all in the July issue of National Geographic magazine. There's a link at herenow.org as Brian Turner joins us again, this time from London. Brian, welcome back.
Oh, thank you very much.
And I remember the last time we spoke when your poetry garnered you this traveling scholarship. You were talking about how you were still trying to come home from your service in Iraq. And here you are going back to Baghdad. Why?
I'm starting to believe that it's not really possible to come home completely. Or maybe there's another way of putting this. Maybe those who have experiences like this, I'm not sure if other soldiers would agree, but there's a feeling that maybe we live in two countries and I have to find some way for those two to coexist.
And you were in that other country, 2003, 2004, as part of an infantry unit that was escorting supply convoys through the city early in the war, after the U.S. invasion and the end of Saddam Hussein's regime. And so not, you know, years later when there was such conflagration, but still, war is war. What was that like to go back?
When my wife and I were trying to figure this out, whether I should go or not, I finally came to the conclusion that if I didn't, then who would? And I spoke with some Iraqi artists while I was there who basically said that when the British came in the 1920s, for example, they brought their boots and guns, but they also brought artists. And a lot of the artists that I met there, there was a refrain, which was, you know, the Americans have brought their guns and boots as well, but where's the other part? Where's the cultural conversation? Where's the sort of intermingling of ideas?
But it's early on. I mean, there are still IEDs. There are still random attacks. Didn't you have a little hair on the back of your neck?
Absolutely. There's definitely an edge. And even when I stepped off the plane, I remember thinking, this could be a horrendously wrong decision. And as I walked through the streets, I was nervous. And I was hoping I'd look Kurdish, but I don't look Kurdish. I've got Irish and Welsh in my blood and a mix of other things, but I look like a red apple in a sea of green, you know.
And you got some sharp looks from people.
I did, especially walking down Al-Mutanabi Street, one of the old bookseller shop streets. And as I was walking down there, I realized that I'd sort of clicked back into place, too. I saw some of those hard looks at me, and I started turning these slow circles that I tried to describe in the piece for National Geographic. I think I reverted back to my days of patrolling the streets. I don't know if you know what I mean, sort of these circles. As you're walking forward, you sort of turn in a sort of slow spin so you can see what's behind you and what's happening around you, and you continue on. And then I realized, I thought, this is a bad idea because I'm going to look like a soldier doing this. So I tried to force myself to stop. But it's difficult.
Sure. And at another point, you're out on the river, the Tigris River, and you're feeling like, wait a second, I'm a target. You go to get your hair cut. And that's a pretty vulnerable position to be in. I mean, you're laying back in a chair and there's a guy with a razor, you know.
Yeah. When I was there before, I remember I put my weapon up against the counter and it's within arm's reach, but the razor is right at my throat. The tension, even though I was having a very amiable conversation with a gentleman who spoke English that was there in the shop, there was a great tension in me, at least. I don't know how they felt. They must have felt vulnerable, too, with a couple of other American soldiers outside, big plate glass window. So when I go back to Baghdad and I was in a barber shop, there were echoes of that previous time inside of me psychologically. And at the same time, as I was getting my hair cut, as the hair fell to the ground, I remember thinking, I'm looking more and more like the soldier I once was. That made me kind of worry because you just can't really be a tourist. It's not quite to that point.
Well, and you didn't want to be one. You didn't want to be a war tourist, somebody coming to gawk at where war was, or a ghost haunting a place you once inhabited. So how, as you came through the other side, how would you see who you were and what it did to you to go back?
I think I still feel a bit like a ghost sort of haunting the streets where I'd been, because I do feel like sort of almost like two people. There's Brian and there's Sergeant Turner. And as I went back, it seemed like both of us were walking down the street and sort of experiencing both at the same time, one remembering and the other learning. As I walked down the street, I was trying to learn, what is this place now? the city is just so walled off. There's so many checkpoints, and life is sort of put on hold, it seems like. You just can't drive down the road, turn the street, drive down another road without stopping and stopping and stopping, being checked and searched. And I don't know what that does to the psychology of the people. It seems like Baghdad itself is somewhat sort of on pause, and it's waiting to regain its life.
It strikes me that you discovered two ghosts in a way. I mean, you still feel a little ghostly, and you describe a Baghdad that is on pause or a little bit of a ghost. While you heard wonderful sounds of kids playing soccer and boom boxes, and there's a, women attending universities that were closed. Also, you noted that it's far more segregated than it ever was, Sunni and Shia living apart. It's a city that's lined with these huge cement jersey barriers. One, your interpreter tells you it's a camp. America didn't bring democracy to Baghdad. It brought these walls, these cement walls walling off communities.
Yeah, and those walls are there because the threat is still very real. And there are still sort of random attacks, or sort of, I don't know about random, but just not specifically targeted attacks, a roadside bomb kind of thing. But there's also a lot of sticky bomb attacks and pistols with silencers, sort of these targeted assassinations, basically. So, for example, when I went to restaurants, I had to have somebody stay with a car to make sure that a sticky bomb wasn't placed underneath it. And Iraqi people there, if you watch an Iraqi family say they drive to a restaurant when they park in Baghdad, they'll give a tip to a guy that walks out in the where the cars are parked, and he has a little mirror that he holds so he can look underneath the car, and he's there to watch to make sure that nothing along these lines happens to the car. It's like the same experience going to a restaurant in America, except you may have a valet or something in a nice restaurant, but imagine having someone walking around looking for bombs underneath your car that might have been stuck there while you were eating. It's a different world.
So it sounds like neither party in this dance, you or Baghdad, is fully back, but inching there is.
Yeah, when I was at the airport, as I was getting on the plane to leave, I remember looking out the window, and there's a wide stretch of just empty ground between the airport and Baghdad itself, and I could see some of the skyline off in the distance. And I remember thinking there's a lot of development that's possible for Baghdad. And I think in doing that, a lot of people would be put back to work. There's a lot of potential for the city, but there's also violence that's potential as well. I'm worried about that part.
That's Iraq War vet Brian Turner. His story about going back to Baghdad is in the July issue of National Geographic magazine. He's also the author of two books of poetry about his military experience. For more on all of this, go to hereandnow.org, where you can hear him also reading his work. But Brian, meanwhile, thank you for speaking with us today.
Oh, it's an honor. Thank you.